If you have your Bibles, turn to 1 Samuel 17. And I know this is very familiar scripture and territory, and write it down, make a note. We're going to preach something different. If you weren't here last Sunday night, I wasn't here last Sunday night, but the Sunday night before that, go back and listen to that message, April 23rd, if you weren't here. That'll tie in with what we're doing tonight, I believe. 1 Samuel 17. Verse 38 and 39. Before I get into the Word, I'm going to share with you kind of what the last 7 days have been like for me and Melissa. Would y'all want to hear about any of that? Would you like to hear some of that? I'd like to tell it. I know some of you come just to hear a word, and we'll get a word, I promise. I'm going to give you what I got. And first of all, I want to tell James Richards, I appreciate you, man. He didn't have to preach Sunday, but he got up and preached for us and stood in the gap. Dad and me, we must have had a scheduling issue between the two of us. And I called him from Indiana, and he didn't answer until about 1:30. And I said, "Hey, Dad, what's going on?" He said, "Nothing. Where are you at?" I said, "I'm in Indiana." And he goes, "Oh." He goes, "I'm sorry." He said, "I must have wrote the wrong date down." I said, "Yeah, you probably did." But anyway, that's the funny part of it. We went up to Indiana, and what this is a series of meetings. The first one was we went with True Purpose Ministries, and one of the coolest things happened. They called me one morning and said, "Hey, will you come over and have breakfast with us before we preach, tomorrow?" And I was like, or this evening, whenever it was, Thursday. I'm going to try to get all this together. Y'all know how I am. So Thursday, we went to eat breakfast with all these boys, and I walked in, and it felt weird. Every one of them was talking about the message. They didn't even know what message I was going to preach, but they were talking about the message I was going to preach at the men's conference, and they had cut that thing up and started talking about it and just started getting every little bit part out. And I just thought to myself, I said, "Man, I don't even need to preach this thing. God, that's all they're talking about. He must have had somebody already preach that. So maybe I need to rethink my," because I wrote down all my messages before I went up or what I was going to preach. And it really, a little bit of confusion got going on, man, because they were a little bit different how I believed, and I was a little different how they believed. But all of a sudden, there's one guy walked in, his name was Carl. And I shook his hand, and I said, "What do you do?" And he said, "I'm the dorm leader at one of the programs." And I looked at him, I said, "You got the most dangerous job here, friend." He said, "What?" I said, "All the ministers in this room, you got the most dangerous job. So you're 24/7, 365 with the men, and that sometimes can get heavy on you because you're dealing with the men, and you got to put this out there, and then you got to deal with the staff, and you can't tell them how you feel, and sometimes you neglect your relationship with God, and you can get all messed up." I mean, he looked at me, goes, "Man, I just appreciate you. You can't show yourself, no." And we talked and had a good time, but as the week went on, that fellow right there came to every meeting. And by the third meeting, he come to me and he said, "I'm hurting so bad. The minute you shook my hand at that restaurant and told me that, I knew somebody cared and knew what was going through." And he goes, "Man, I'm beginning to heal." He goes, "I'm talking to the men in the dorm, and I'm talking to the staff too, and I'm talking to them for real about what's going on with me and God." Amen? But anyway, that was just one meeting. So we went and spoke to the men that were in the program, and God really moved in that. And the next day we went to Grace Bible College. And I'm going to preach a little bit about what I preached there, and this is for leadership. I believe right now in our church, something's happening here, and I believe there's 1, 2, 3, 10, I don't care how many it is, but I believe we're changing gears into a lot of leadership roles here. I believe there's some people in here that really want to do something for God, and we got a lot of different things to do here, and there's a lot of individual ministries here, and I believe what we're going to speak to tonight is kind of what we spoke to there, because this is a lot. We had probably about 200 men that are in ministry, different ministries at this Grace Bible College. And so we get in there and we share this, and it got real. Amen? Real, real. At one part of it, I was going, "Man, I can't believe I'm saying some of the stuff I'm saying." Well, anyway, the message. And I sat down, and there's two men that are over men following Christ. Well, the one got up there, he's already about weeping. He looks at me and he goes, "Man, I hate you." I said, "I get that." And he said, "But I love you." He said, you broke a lot of stuff loose for me." And he started confessing some stuff that he had on his heart and mind that was going on in his family and his life. And he said, "Will you come up here and pray for me?" And I said, "I'd love to come up and pray with you." And about that time, man, he said, is there anybody else in the house that's got issues? And I ain't kidding you, the whole room got up and started coming forward and praying for each other. Men confessing things and issues in their lives. And these ain't rough. These aren't biker guys. These ain't drug addict guys. These ain't guys. These are ministry leader guys. People's been in church for a long time. Amen? And you can sit here, I don't care how you feel. If you feel like you never do anything wrong, that's great. But once you get in, you'll find there's a real battle in ministry. And a lot of times it takes its toll in your family, in your husband's wife relationship. And you might feel great, but your spouse, you might want to check up. But there was a lot of stuff going on there. And these men, and the next thing you know, at the very end of it, when everybody started coming, there's one little boy, 8 or 10 years old, come walking across the room. And he come up here and he goes, I got issues too. I was like, my God, amen. And it was so cool. And I asked him, I talked to him for a little bit after. I said, what's going on with you? He said, I really love the Lord. And he goes, but I'm trying to live for him at school and stuff. And I'm just starting out getting a relationship with my mom and daddy. And I'm working that out. I said, all right. I said, are you saved? He goes, oh, yeah, I'm saved. I know the Lord. He said, it's just a struggle sometimes. I said, are you the oldest guy in here? Amen. He real mature. But I mean, we had that going a lot. We had men just, I mean, before we left there, we had a man who had been arrested as a pedophile asking some real tough questions about what to do next and how to get started back in life. You know, he'd received Christ, but he seemed like every door slammed shut in his face. Amen. And we understand that. Choices and ideas, they happen. But we gave him some real good avenues to help, prayed with him, got some good ministry help for him. Had another gentleman, probably in his late 60s, standing there talking about some issues he had with us. I mean, just one after another. God just, I mean, blew that up. Amen. So the rest of the week, off and on, over and over and over, men in that community at different meetings we were at would walk up to me and just tell me stuff that was going on with themselves or their family members. I'm serious. I mean, I didn't know them. I wasn't saying, "Hey, come to me," or this. It'd be in the parking lot or in a place, you know, a fellowship in the church, or just standing around in the church. I mean, they'd come up to me and say, "Man, my marriage is busted. This is happening. This is going on." And I mean, one time, I ain't kidding you, I wasn't trying to get away from it. It was the Spirit of God was so overwhelming me in it that at one time when one guy got done, I thought, you know what I'll do? I'll go outside. You know, I got to get a breath of fresh air, and I just want to, you know, I'm dealing with one issue at night, and I'm like, Holy Spirit's just blowing me away, because these are men. I got a special desire. I love ministering to men, especially when it's real, all right? I'm standing out in the parking lot. This dude walks across the parking lot, and he's already crying. I haven't seen him this is like the third day. Tears are running down his face. I went, dear Lord, what's happening here? This is just a move of God. He walks right up to me and he said, I need your help, brother. I said, what with? He said, I love the Lord. He said, but I'm in this relationship with this girl and I want her to move in with me. I want to marry her and I want her to move in with me, but she's been abused. I just went ahead and started praying in my mind. God, tell me what to tell this man, because I ain't going to tell him something that he wants to hear. I want to tell him the right thing. So God, just tell me what to tell him. And he's like, she's been abused, but I love her and all this stuff. And I'm sitting there and finally, and he's weeping and he's like, tell what should I do? I looked at him, I said, wait. He started weeping even harder. He said, what? I said, wait. I said, why don't you be a friend to her? If she's been abused, she's hurt, man. She's scared. Last thing she needs is somebody to say, hey, do this and do that. Why don't you just wait? Wouldn't it be cool just to wait? See what God's going to do in your life? See what God's going to do in her? She might end up being your best friend. She might end up being your best friend, then your wife. He goes, oh, I've been married 3 times. I should have waited every single time. He goes, and that's what God's been telling me this whole time is to wait. And here you are telling me to wait. He goes, and he literally said this. He said, I probably don't even need to go in here to church now, but I'm going to. Amen? This kind of stuff happened. I want to tell you, like, these great meetings happened, and they did. People filled up the altars. People got saved. It was amazing. It was amazing stuff. But one of the coolest things, another I'll just drop off the top of my head, there was a young man named Quinn Brown there. Amen? sit on the front row, got a suit and tie on, looked so sharp. I mean, just as sharp as a daisy. And he comes up, find out he got saved there in 2014 or 2015, and he's now about to start pastoring his own church. So, I mean, I was like, golly, bum. Has it been that long, for one? Because we've been going there 5 years, a fifth year this year. But we're seeing some fruit of it, amen? Not just somebody. Well, you know, anybody can come to an altar. Anybody can say, you know, anything. Anybody can stand up when stuff's flowing and just say whatever, which is great. We love that. We love when somebody testifies or when somebody prays. We love that. But that don't mean nothing if it ain't followed up by actions. I've had people get up. I mean, you wouldn't believe this, but I've been in services where people have walked up, got on their hands and knees and said some of the most beautiful stuff in the world and go out and live the rest of their life in the world. I've seen that happen. So, I mean, the testimony's great, but there's nothing in the testimony. I mean, if you're just talking and there's no fruit to back it up, you're just smoke. I mean, a lot of people can talk. A talk and a walk is what goes together. And I'll be honest with you, if you don't like this, I don't really care. The walk's more important than the talk. The walk's more important than the talk. Because if you can't walk it, what does it matter if you say stuff? Amen? It's got to go together. It's got to go together. So we've seen that up there. I love that. That was awesome. Seeing that guy. And let's see, some couple other things that really stick out to me. Families. We had two or three families who weren't in church and all of a sudden started coming to every service. And it was really cool that the husbands would show up before the wives. And like the people that we knew, that knew the people from the community, were going, he's here. He's here early. And he was here waiting, you know what I mean? And that was pretty cool. And just to see God, you know, at the first of the week, all of a sudden this family at the end of the week are just kind of like, clink, you know what I mean? Pretty cool. Not, and don't believe me, God ain't gonna, he can fix a lot of stuff. He ain't going to fix everything in 1 week, but it's a whole lot better when they're rowing in the same direction instead of two ships, you know, about to pull out of the park together, right? Melissa, do you know anything else that just blew you away? Dead silence, crickets, no intention. I should give her a microphone. Golly, guys, is a whirlwind of stuff. I mean, just, you know, meeting on Thursday, meeting on Friday, meeting on two on Saturday, two on Sunday. I mean, I fell asleep three or four times yesterday before I preached that night. And then we went to a Celebrate Recovery and seen a bunch of just people that are, you know, drugs have just devastated their lives, but they're coming to a meeting every Tuesday in the church, and we preached. I mean, we stood there for 30 minutes, just, you know, one after another. Man, this has helped me. This has really changed me. I'm going to start, you know, doing more, and I'm going to keep coming back, and that's really cool stuff. So I'm telling you all this stuff. I don't know if you like this kind of thing or not, but what I'm telling you this for is you allowed me to go as your pastor. And one, I need it because I got that gifting and calling in my life and want to use it, but it also recharges me. Amen. It gives me a chance to be out in front of other people, hear other people, hear other ministers. I got preached to three times, and I needed every one of them. Amen. I was sitting there one time at the end of the service. The pastor came to me and said, "Will you do this?" And I said, no, I'm just here to eat, man." I felt like I felt bad because he wanted me to do something in the service. Because when I go up there, it's different. It's kind of weird. Come do this. Come do that. And they're like, "Come up and say that." I was like, "Mm-mm. I will not. I'm going to sit right here, and I'm going to hear what that man has to say because I'm starving to death. I do all the preaching. I want to hear some word." Amen? It's just true. Sometimes you just need to eat. And, man, I was so glad to eat. I was like, "Feed me. Feed me." Amen? And even at the end of the service, a man come got me and said, "Come up here and do this." I said, "No. No." It looked weird look on his face when you tell somebody no. But it's an anointed word. No is. Amen? All right, do y'all know anything else? Any other crazy questions? Thoughts? It's fun. It's just going and preaching to a bunch of people that are up north, and when you say stuff, they look at you like this. Like I said stuff, like I said a turtle on a pole or something like that. And I say y'all, and ain't. And they're all just like, all right, y'all good? Let's go to 1 Samuel 17, verse 38. Had a great time. Melissa posted some of the singing that was there. And the one singing group, I know they sang "I'll Fly Away" and "Amazing Grace" together. That group's coming here for homecoming. Amen? All the way from Indiana. There's like six of them. And they will blow the doors off of this place. They're like the Gaithers. They can sing anything from the old hymnal into the new stuff and then blend it sometimes, and it will blow you. It's like when we first went to meeting up there, we met them on a Friday night. Me and Glenn Hall, he's the pastor, but he's also the lead of the group, the leader of the group. When we first got in meeting together, you know, they had a singer. I'm like, oh gosh, here we go. I wonder what this is going to be like. And he started singing, and I looked at my wife and went, this is like something you'd see down in the side. This is crazy good. So, I mean, they will blow your doors off. Amen. They're just so good. And we're just going to let them sing at service. We'll have a big meal. You know, we'll do it for homecoming. So then, you know how homecoming works, right? But we're just going to have a big blowout day that day. All right? So y'all look forward to that. Pray about it. And we'll take up some special offerings when it gets closer to that, because we want to take care of them when they're in town and all that stuff. Give them a place to stay one night, maybe two. But anyway, we'll worry about that. Y'all good? Anything else, y'all? I know I'm not preaching, y'all. Anything, just thought. I love this church, and that's what kept people saying. There were so many people up there. I want to say this to you. They were so thankful for y'all letting me come and preach. I mean, I had heard that a million times. They were saying, "I can't believe your church would let you go anywhere," you know. And I'm saying, "I got a great church. I got a great church. I just do, and I do, and I look so forward to coming home." And let me tell you this, Peyton wants to be here more than anybody. That boy started shouting. By the time we pulled off the little thing to get into Dunlap, he had both his fists going, "Yes! Tennessee!" I'm like, dude, I hope we don't have to move ever. This kid's going to go crazy. He was just, I mean, he's screaming, "Hills! Mountains!" I'm like, golly, son. He goes, "I hate that stinking place. It's so flat." He's embarrassing us because some of the people up there say, "You don't love Indiana?" And they're like, he goes, "Look at this place. It's terrible. There's not a hill anywhere." Can't take him nowhere. He just talks his mind. I wonder where he gets that. All right. Y'all ready? I don't know how much of this I'm going to give you, but I'm going to give you what God's put on my heart. And I told something. I think I said this in the beginning of last Sunday night's meeting. I'm going to pretend, I guess you would say, that everybody in this, it's Wednesday night. And I'm just going to pretend like every one of you are desiring to do something great for God. And I'm hoping it's more, I hope it is the whole group. But if it's just one, and then if there's some, it's, "Well, I don't know if I am," then I don't know what to tell you. But I want you to get a hold of this tonight. And I named it. I said, you know, God called you. The Father sent you. You might want to, let's make that one part of the title. The Father sent you. Are y'all okay with that? The Father sent you. So be you. Amen? Be you. That's okay. I love this, okay? So 1 Samuel 17:38. "And Saul armed David with his armor, and he put an helmet of brass upon his head. Also he armed him with a coat of mail. And David girded his sword upon his armor, and he essayed to go, for he had not proved it. And David said unto Saul, 'I cannot go with these, for I have not proved them.' And David put them off." And we're not going to get in any of the fighting Goliath. We're not going to get any of that. This is all about ministry. This is all about people who are saved, okay? I got to preface that. A lot of times in church, you got to preface. That means you got to put this in the front of this. If you're not saved, this doesn't apply. But if it does, if you are saved, it all applies. Amen? So you got to eat. You got to eat. You got to digest this. First of all, I want you to understand, David is he's an anointed king of God. And nobody knows it. But his father, his brothers, Samuel, and himself and God. Nobody else knows. Amen? Nobody else knows. So there's a time in David, you can go back and read this, there's a time when David went to the king, he went to the palace to play the harp for Saul. Do y'all remember that? Saul was being tormented by an evil spirit because he had rejected God and what God wanted him to do. Now, a lot of people want to put Saul out of heaven, but he's God's anointed and David would never touch him. Amen. I don't want to argue this or that on that. I really don't. I'm just telling you this, that he was being tormented, and the only way he could get any relief from the torment was when they got David to come and play the harp in the palace. Do y'all remember that? Okay, and I'm talking to people who study the Bible all the time, so it ain't even, I want y'all to know what I'm talking about, and it's easy when you do know. So get you a good Bible reading thing going on, and this will seem like cakewalk to you. So all of a sudden, and I want you to know this, how did David end up in Saul's presence in the palace? This is going to help some of you, and it'll scare some of the rest of you. He didn't do any self-promotion. He didn't tell anybody he could play the harp. Some servant heard that Jesse's son David could play the harp. Ain't that good? No, nobody had. He didn't. David didn't hand out his card and say, "I'm a good harp player." Amen. Some of us think ministry's networking. Ministry's not networking. Networking's networking. Ministry is letting God use your gifts, talents, and abilities, and He'll promote you where He wants to promote you to. And it's not, and some things don't seem like a promotion. You need to write, somebody needs to write that down. Some things don't seem like a promotion when they are. Amen. In a job, promotions are very, very clear. You go from this managed level or this level, and then you go this level, and you go this level, right? And if you get demoted, it's very clear, right? Oh, so-and-so, you know, if you were working up in the HR or something in the office, and next thing you know, you're out on the floor, people go, ooh, he got demoted, right? That's not how it works with God. See, so David goes up into the palace, and he's playing the harp, but somehow something happened, and David returns back to his father's house. You remember this? Now, I'm trying to... He's up in the palace, and we can do this as Christians. When you first get saved or you first get that calling on your life and you think you're going to do everything tomorrow, right? Everything's going to happen tomorrow. So he goes to the palace, and I think he's up there playing that harp, and he's probably thinking something like this, man, I can't wait till I'm the king. Praise God, I'm going to rearrange that furniture. Boy, I tell you right now, I wouldn't have that. I'm gonna, that desk, it's gone. I'm going to put mine right there. Y'all just be real with me and I'll be real with you. I'm trying to preach leadership in here. Amen? I'm going to try to tell you ahead of time what some of this stuff's going to happen, because it is going to happen, and you think God's going to just do it this way. I had ideas that God was going to put me in this position and this position and this position. Nope. It's not how God works. God will look, He'll take something that looks like a demotion, and it will really be a promotion, because you'll learn more in the what seems like the demotion than you did when you were in the promotion. God, I hope I ain't messing y'all up. Stay with me right there. But let me explain it this way. When David was up playing on the harp for Saul, he was also a number one A-rate javelin dodger. Amen. Y'all understand what I'm saying? Saul would get aggravated with him and throw javelins at him. Woo! I thought I played it right. Now, y'all can go back and study. It's true. Amen? So, that wasn't an area for David to grow greatly in. He had to go back to his father's house and start tending sheep again. The same sheep that he was tending when they came to anoint his brothers and didn't anoint him. Some of y'all need to write this down as well. Ever since I've been reading the Bible, most preachers preach that as David got left out of the anointing. Amen? They do. I've heard it for years. David got left out. They didn't ask him to come. What if David didn't want to be there? Let this just simmer, because it's good. I know it's good because I eat this thing. It's good. Amen? Sometimes it's better for you to wait for God to promote you, because all the people I ever see promoting themselves or trying to put themselves in a place are always scary people. Amen? I'm doing it. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to go here. I want to do that. Put me up there. That's my spot. I'm the only. Listen, praise God. Press that down. I like the people like David, Moses, Saul in the New Testament. God, you ain't got nobody else? You ain't got nobody else to do it? I can't speak right? I ain't been saved long? Amen? I don't think I'm the right one. Okay? Do you see it? Person not looking for that opportunity, but knows they're anointed to do it, but not seeking it. God, never, that's just too hard to figure out. That's hard, ain't it? It's a hard. Some of you A-types, that's hard. That's hard for me. Amen? That was hard for me. But I found that when I'm trying to get out of the spotlight, that's when God wants to use me in the spotlight. And when I'm trying to seek the spotlight, that's when God's like, no, 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 that's not yours. Amen? That's not yours. Don't touch it. I don't want to touch it, right? All right. But here's David. David's back. I know I'm preaching a lot of stuff. Y'all have to go back and read this. I should have just gave you that one verse, right? Y'all thought I was going to do. All right, but look, that he sends him back to the same sheep. But this is where he learned to fight the lion and the bear, right? A sheep came in and got one of the 99, and he went out and got the lion and the bear by the chin, slew them, right? I'm not going to preach all that right now. I don't want y'all to. That's easy preaching. Amen. Just preach that rough tongue, right? But anyway, he was out there watching those same sheep, and his daddy called for him. Here's a type and shadow. You got Jesus is a type and shadow of David because David's the anointed one. I'm not telling you that David is Jesus. I'm telling you he's a type and shadow because he's the anointed one. Amen. He's the anointed king of Israel, and then you have his father who knows that he's the anointed king of Israel. But he's also a father that has three older brothers that are down at the battle. Some of y'all need to write that down. Listen, there's three other sons at the battle. See, he's worried about his sons that are not anointed that will die at the hand of the enemy. All right? So he knows what to do. I'm going to send the anointed one down to fight for my sons who cannot fight for themselves. Y'all see it? We could not fight for ourselves, so what did he do? He sent Jesus, the anointed one, down to the battle for us, right? But listen, this is what I want you to understand. If you're anointed or called to do stuff for God, you're already equipped with everything that you have and everything that you will need, and you have the Father's full backing. God, you need to eat that. Because I'm going to be honest with you, I still do this, and you will do this, and if you don't, then I don't know, you're just not human. And you're, just super non-human. Listen, there will be times where the enemy and even good-hearted Christian people who will try to do the right thing will have you thinking that you're not doing the right thing and you're not equipped. Amen. They will. And I'm going to tell you, they will. And I want you to eat this and digest it and hear it really good. Because see, when he gets down there, He don't realize he's there to fight the giant. He's just down there to check. He said, go down there and check on it. But see, he already knew what was on the inside of David. He was the anointed one. And they needed this to happen. So he gets down there. So next thing you know, he's up in front of the king. Are y'all good? Are y'all tracking? I set that up good, didn't I? I put that right where we needed it to be. Is everybody, are y'all eating good? I'm eating good. I don't even know if you like this guy. I need to hear it again. I mean, I was right here Thursday. I'm like, man, I don't need to preach this message. This ain't the right message. I don't need, man, these guys already know this. Why in the world would I preach this to them? Man, I don't even think I should be doing this meeting. I don't even know if I, and this is the meeting where God broke loose. Because I went ahead and preached it anyway. Because I said, well, if God sent me down here with it, might be the right thing to do. Amen? Are y'all good? So guess what he does? Now, I'm preaching this. You better get this part. David walked into Saul's tent ready to fight Goliath. But for Saul, now I want you to get this, because I don't care how Saul felt about it. Because some people will say Saul was trying to trick him into wearing his armor, and maybe he was. Or Saul was trying to get him to do it his way. Get it? Now I want you, let's preach it. Let's preach it bad. Okay, y'all good? Let's preach it real bad. Evil guy. Okay, evil. All right? He wanted to take credit for it so he'd wear his armor because a king don't give away his armor to nobody. You have an armor bearer and he puts his armor on. He makes sure that's the king's armor because he gets credit or discredited for everything. So maybe he's just evil and he don't want you to get any credit. He don't want to promote you. He don't want to help you. He don't want to see your gifts, talents, and abilities be used. Are y'all okay with that? Some of y'all need to be writing notes right there to help y'all a lot. Because there are some people in this world who do not want to see you succeed as a Christian or as a called person of God. Amen. Are y'all okay right there? I'm not really even talking about salvation, because if you're not saved, this ain't even for you. I'm talking about somebody who's been called and anointed to do something. You're going to have some people who are going to try to keep you from doing what you're supposed to be doing. Amen. Write this part down. It's okay. It's okay. Amen. It's part of the gig. It's part of it. Did he say put on your whole armor of God? Did he say you have an adversary of the devil? Is he going around like a lion? Singing, huh? Yeah. Okay, so why in the world do we think it weird when we come under some attack? Amen. We're like, oh gosh, can't believe this happened. Well, it's kind of right there in front of you. All right? You're in a battle, you're in an army, sometimes you got to fight, okay? And sometimes, most of the time, and it's what we're doing right now, though, there will come a physical time probably, hopefully. We'll see it, because that means the end of time. But most of the stuff is in your mind. Yeah, most of it's in here. Amen? Well, can I check that? Because some of y'all look skeptical. Anybody here take a beating lately? For Christ? No, a physical beating. Anybody? Okay, I thought I was talking right now. I ain't either. Ain't nobody took me out back, whooped me, not 39 lashes, saved one. Has anybody been imprisoned? On their own, you know, not just going? Well, that's what I thought. Okay, has anybody grabbed you and threatened you and said, you ain't no good and I'm going to kill you because you're doing what you're doing? Okay, good. I thought so. I thought, okay. So most of it's in here, right? So some of it's just, you know, they've said you're weird or you're strange or you didn't do this, you didn't do that. So most of it's in your mind. Okay? But that's okay. So you're going, because you're going to have to, you put the helmet of salvation on your Amen. Noggin. Amen? So you just got to remind yourself that, hey, God called me. This guy's not doing what he's supposed to do. Can I just preach it from a good point of standpoint? A good, healthy guy, but just didn't know no better? Because I've run into them too. I've run into a lot of them. Older pastors, older men of God, great men, they've done it one way, or they see it the one way. Their way is the only way. They got no perception. They can't look at other people and say that God's going to do it some way different through them. They can't ever look at somebody else and go, well, maybe God's going to do different with you as he did with me. He saved us the same, but maybe we're not going to walk the same path. Because see, Saul and David are both anointed kings of God, but they're going down two different paths. Amen? So he comes in and Saul says, oh, hey, I love you, brother. I want you to succeed. I really do believe you can whoop the giant. Hey, will you put my armor on and do it this way? Because this worked for me. But literally, you got to take that in consideration. It's really not working for him. Because David's anointed to be the next king. So that means he's no longer the king in God's eyes, more or less. Right? Are you okay? Okay, but let's think of it this way. He's just trying to help him. Right at the beginning, when I was about to go into full-time ministry, I was going to the prison. The jail, county jail in Whitfield County, and I was going with a man named Chaplain Steele. And Chaplain Steele looked at me one day, and he said, what's going on with you, brother? I think you look like you got a lot on your mind. I said, well, tomorrow, the next day, I'm going into full-time ministry with Providence Ministry. I'm quitting my job, and we're going to do this and this and this and this. And he looks dead at me, straight at me, and looks and says, that's not of God. You don't need to do that. Whew. Well. Now, and he loved me. I mean, he wasn't mean. He wasn't twisting his mustache. He wasn't hatching a plan. He had nothing to do with the ministry that I was in. I came down on Tuesdays and preached in a jail for him. That was it. He just said, that's not of God. I don't think God's going to work through that ministry for you. Holy, I mean, whew. I left there wrecked, dude. I'm serious. I was young. And young ain't even got nothing to do with it, because that happened today, you know what I mean? There's certain men in my life that I respect greatly. If they told me that's not of God, it would send me. I'd be like, whoa, golly, let me look at this thing, right? And now I've got my wife was on board. Now I'm like, oh, God, do I tell her that God said this guy who's a godly man, been in ministry for 25 years, goes into the jail every day, right? I went to work. I mean, I'm a mess. I'm about to resign my job. I'm at work. I'm talking to God. Good, come on, man. You're awful quiet here. You told that guy really clearly. God hasn't changed his mind. This is exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. Well, guess what? God shows up 3 or 4 days later. I'm driving down the road, and all of a sudden he says, pull over. God talked. And he didn't say, anyone audible, pull over. Just I get an unction to pull over. He says, what are you going to do? You want to wait your whole life and say, I wished I'd went out and done what I called you to do? This guy loves you. He just don't know what I'm doing in your life. What worked for him ain't going to work for you.
Him going through the prison ministry was His mantle. That's what He might want you to do that, but you can't do that. I talked to my dad. He goes, are you sure? You know when your dad says, are you sure? If you got a dad, you know what that means. That means this don't sound like a viable plan. But his word was followed up by this. If God tells you to do it, son, you better do it. That's what I've learned. But it's on you if you fail. It's of God. You know what I mean? All right, but I want you to understand it. Well, you know what? Hey, can I clear that last part up? It worked out pretty good. Amen? It worked out pretty good. You know, I ran into Chaplain Steele's a tons of time after that. He was like, man, I am so happy that everything worked out. Man, praise God. He don't even remember he told me that. But I do. It scared the daylights out of me. I ain't mad at him. I was just like, dude, that didn't help nothing. All right, so y'all understand. Now, this is the fun part. Because I told Kyle to put this message up as the Father sent you. And as I was thinking about it, maybe we should just call this message, Shake It Off. Amen? Shake It Off. Because you know what David did, which is one of the coolest things? He didn't go into the battle with his stuff. I want y'all to write this down. Make sure you know this. David did try it on. Some of y'all, I don't know how spirit and non-spirit on this thing. He did try it on. So he did want to please Saul in some way. He did take his information and did try it on. So don't think yourself crazy when you try. Then you don't. Can y'all? I don't know if y'all can y'all handle this. Don't think yourself crazy when you kind of doubt on what something on God said and then try to be pleasing to somebody and realize it and then go, oh, you know, are y'all okay? Did y'all get that part? Because this is medicine. This is real preaching. This ain't. I can shout and run down through here and y'all be going, man, this is great. But I want y'all to get this. You can start out trying to do something to please people and realize it. Here I go again. I'm going to try to please this dude or this lady. Shake it off. You know why I say shake it off? Have you ever tried something on that didn't fit and you just kind of like, man, never mind, I can't get into all that. Sometimes I try something on that wouldn't fit. Y'all better stop looking at me. I'll start calling you out. You got to get it off, and you're just kind of like shaking it off. Y'all right now? That's the funny part of this message. Man? So Saul's got, you got to think Saul, David's ruddy, okay? David's ruddy. Saul's head and shoulders taller than any Jewish man went around, amen? He was head and shoulders taller than all the Jews. Now, he wasn't much compared to Goliath, and none of us are, but he was a whole lot taller and bigger than all the Jews. Amen? So David's like, clink, 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 you know? But I think this is the coolest thing. I hope you guys get this. Men, y'all better let this absorb in your head. Because sometimes as young men, we try to please older ministers and older preachers and older guys in ministry instead of doing what God's called us to do and not worrying about what they did. Amen? Now, they're good men. Honor them. Amen? But don't set your whole scope on a man. Amen? I want you to get this. You know what he did? Shook it off. I love to see Saul's face when he's taking it off. This just ain't gonna work. Amen? This just ain't gonna work for me. I'm gonna do what works for me. This, you know, the stuff, the gear. See, y'all need to go back and write this down. God, I want to end right here, I think, in a minute. I just want y'all to really get this. If the Father sent you, and He didn't tell you to bring anything else, then everything you got is okay with the Father. Man, why don't you do this, sister? Why don't you do this, brother? Why don't you do this, brother? Hey, why don't you do this for me? Sometimes you just got to, you might put it on. But if it ain't working for you, if there's a little confusion in it, if there's a little anger in it, if there's a little stress in it, shake it off. Now, sorry, man, I love you and all. Amen? I love you and all. I love you. But you're telling me to do it, but God ain't. And until God tells me, then I can get on board with it, I will. But if He don't tell me, I'm going to do what God sent me down here to do. Amen. I'm here to fight a giant. If I'm about to fight that giant, I'm going to fight it with the stuff that the Father sent me down here for. Not what you did. Some of y'all going to have to learn that lesson. And some of y'all going to have a perspective, too, of other people. Stop trying to put your armor on other people. Your sons, your daughters, your friends, or other Christians. Do it my way. And don't get mad when they shake it off and just tell you, no, I can't do it your way. I'm going to do it my way because God sent me to do it my way.
Y'all eating that one? Let's all stand as they come get us on. Maybe you want to talk God. I don't know why we're going through this series right now. It seems